like to leave an offering, it's certainly not required, but if you would like to, we invite you to use the visitor envelopes that are there in the pews. Put your name on it. Let us know you've been here. We'd love to be able to say thanks for joining us for worship this morning. And if you are looking for a church home and you think Cole Harbour Woodside and the crazy band of people who gather here might be to your liking, do let us know, and we'd love to be in touch and help you do that. As we gather this morning, and as we have been doing for a number of months now, we'll participate together in the words of the acknowledgement of place. And they're on the screen. For thousands of years, First Nations people have walked on this land. Their relationship with the land is at the center of their lives and spirituality. Through mutuality of the Peace and Friendship Treaty, we gather on the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people, and we acknowledge that their place on their land is protected throughout the ages. As people of faith, we gather in the name and in the light of Christ, and it is in recognition of Christ's light in our world and in our lives, we light our Christ candle. We light a candle of peace, with the prayer and the hope and the commitment that we would work for peace in our lives and in our world. And we light a candle for our peacekeepers and peacemakers, our first responders, those who are there for us in our times of need and in times of crisis. We honor them and their ministry, and we hold them in our communal prayers this day and always. Our introit over this season is the kingdom of God. It's in the coil-bound More Voices, and the words are on the screen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Holy and life-giving God, your Spirit is present with us every moment of every day. From the moment it hovered over the waters of creation, to the nights with Samuel in the temple, through the days in Galilee with Jesus, right down to this very moment, you are always here. May that Spirit that called creation into being, that called to the prophets, disciples, and faithful, be heard in our time here today. We will listen to the call of the Spirit. We will bind ourselves to one another as one human family. We will acknowledge the gift of our life together. We will work in you to ensure that all people of everywhere may find a place to be who they are truly created to be. In peace and in hope, we pray this within the Spirit of Christ. Amen. And our opening hymn is 299, this time in the larger Voices United, Teach Me, God, to Wonder.
Let us share in the Psalm 139, found on page 861 in Voices United. O God, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You discern my path and the places I rest. You are familiar with all my ways.
Before a word is on my tongue, you know it, O God, completely. You guard me from behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
It is beyond my knowledge. It is a mystery. I cannot fathom it.
Where can I escape from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I lie down in the grave, you are even there.
If I take wing with the dawn and alight at the sea's farthest limits,
there also your hand will be guiding me, your powerful hand holding me fast.
If I say, let the darkness cover me, and my day will be turned to night,
even darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you.
It was you who formed my inward parts. You fashioned me in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wondrous are your works, that I know very well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was being fashioned in secret, intricately woven into the mystery of clay.
Your eyes saw my substance taking shape. In your book, my every day was recorded. All my days were fashioned, even before they came to be.
deep your designs are to me, O God. How great their number.
I try to count them, but they are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Test me and know my thoughts.
Watch closely, lest I follow a path of terror. Error. The Old Testament reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, Samuel's calling and prophetic activity. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. And at that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
If the children who are here this morning would like to come forward. Bring our mat over. Thank you. You got a handful. How are we this morning? Come on over. Good morning. Good morning. Come on over. Come on over. So, how are we all doing this morning? Yeah? Nobody get blown away yesterday and all that wind and rain and everything? That was some pretty wild stuff, wasn't it?
Two things were wild at my house.
Yeah?
A tree fell in my mom's work on the parking lot.
Oh, my.
And garbage flung all over our yard.
That was not probably a very uncommon thing to happen yesterday with all that wind. We've had a lot of wind lately, haven't we? Yeah. Yeah.
We lost our kitchen power, so we had to order.
Did you? We were lucky this was the first time in the last number of windstorms we've had that we didn't lose power yesterday. We had the other two times. Sometimes we talk about the wind. And listening for God in the wind. What? Yeah? Really? Wow. Electricity's funny that way, isn't it? Have you ever heard God speaking in wind? Yes? Whispering in the wind when no one was around. That's great. Yeah, I think God speaks in the wind. How else do you think God speaks to people? In the story that Tamara just read, God was speaking to Samuel, who was a young boy, and he was helping out in the temple, and Samuel heard God's voice in the night. How do you think other people hear God's voice?
Sometimes to help them go to sleep.
To help them go to sleep, yeah. What else do we hear in God's voice? Or God speaking? I have some pictures where I
felt God speaking and I just lost it. Here we go. When you're calm, that's wonderful. If we have a calmness around us, we can listen to God speaking. Here's a picture I took at our Blue Christmas service. I don't know if it'll turn around or not. I honestly do know how to use this phone. I really do. Anyway, can you see it? What's in the picture? Some candles. Yeah. Can you see the candles? Yeah. Sometimes when I watch a candle flickering, the flame flickering, I feel like God is speaking in those candles. And well, here's a place where I always hear God speaking. Where's that? In church. Do you? Yeah. I hear God speaking in all of the people of the church. This is a picture I took a couple of weeks ago at Cole Harbor Woodside. Yeah.
My mom says whenever you hear a that's God speaking.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, here's another picture I think where I hear God speaking. See that? Can you see that in there?
That looks like a blue jay on there.
I'm not really sure what kind of bird it is. It's a bird that was feeding at our feeder in the fall. Do you hear God speaking in the songs of birds?
Yeah.
Yeah? I think God's... Yeah.
Oh, I see. I saw that bird this... I saw a bird that looks exactly like that this morning.
Yeah. Very good. You know how to use my phone better than I do. She's there going, yeah, look, she's got it all perfect. Perfect. Oh, and there we go. How about
rainbow.
That one? A rainbow. Do you ever see a rainbow?
No.
You never seen a rainbow? Oh, you have to watch for them. They're not very common. Yeah. Yeah? Did you see a rainbow before? Yeah. And here we go. Last one where I hear God's voice.
That's beautiful.
That's the sunset.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can you see that?
Wait, yesterday it was amazing because it was a pretty maroon.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah, we looked out our front window and saw that. So God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. Maybe we hear it in the music that Charles and the choir offer. Or sometimes maybe we hear God speaking in the prayers. And sometimes I think we hear God speaking in the voices of little babies. When they cry and when they giggle and when they are just part of our lives. And this morning, we're going to listen. I'm going to ask you to listen for God's voice because we're going to have a baptism this morning. Eloise is here and she's going to be baptized. Her mom and dad brought her to be baptized. So I'm going to invite you to, as we're going through the baptism, to listen really, really carefully and see if you can hear God speaking in that time. Okay? All right, let's have a little prayer and then you guys can move over here and we're going to move into our baptismal service. So let's have a prayer. We'll close our eyes and we'll put our hands together and say, thank you, God, for all the ways you speak. Help me, like Samuel, to be listening for your voice and to answer your call. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to invite you guys to come over this way and have a seat on the stairs over here so you can have a good view. And Bill is going to come up this morning. Put that away. There we go. Oh, that can't be good for my phone. One of the kids will fix it for me, Bill says. So, and Catherine and John and Eloise, we invite you to come forward this morning. Okay, can you guys see? Maybe you can come right up here on the upper thing so we don't, because we've got to walk through there. We don't want to be stepping on you. There we go. Okay, everybody's in place.
Catherine and John have come today to present your daughter for baptism. Hear these words from the stories of our faith. People brought little children to Jesus for him to lay his hand on them and say a prayer. The disciples turned them away, but Jesus said, "Let the little children alone and do not stop them coming to me, for it is to such as these that the reign of God belongs. Then he laid his hands on them. Baptism is the church's way of celebrating and naming the grace of God living in every one of God's children. It is the way we initiate new members into the life of the universal community of faith, and it marks the entry point into the lifetime pilgrimage of following in the way of Jesus.
Catherine and John, by what name is your child to be known? Little one, born of love, surrounded by love, child of the universe, one with all that lives. We now name you Eloise Rita. Take this name and make it your own. Live in freedom and fullness as you travel your light journey of life. And what do you ask of God? I was so enraptured. What do you ask of God's church here at Cole Harbor Woodside United for Eloise?
We ask that you be baptized
into the faith and family of God's love. Eloise Rita, we welcome you into this family and this community, and we rejoice that you are here.
God is the heart of life, and we are the heartbeat. May our hearts be filled with thanks and praise and songs of joy. We rejoice in the miracle of life and delight in our participation. Water is a precious commodity. Water is everything. Water is life. We claim the joy of water and the way it sustains and nourishes us. Let it flow and pour and sprinkle for all people, that all may know each day the gift of God in water.
The biblical stories also talk of the preciousness of water. These stories remind us that water is a blessing and the source and strength of life. Without it, humanity and all that is created could not survive, and our stories remind us that God's way is the way of compassion and love. God's love, like a shower of rain in drought, awakens the sleeping seed within the soul and lures it to blossom. God's love, like a paddling pool, inspires the responsible love of children, jumping, splashing each other, shivering with wet delight. God's love, like waves crashing on the shore, breaks in on us and enfolds us, leaving us feeling vital and refreshed. So let us give thanks for this love that reaches out to us in what we say and what we do, in the child in whom we welcome this day into our midst. Let us pray. We gather to pray, believing God prays in us. We acknowledge our responsibility to ensure we use the resources of water well and make available for future resources for our children and their children. We give thanks for the gift of water. May it be the birthing waters of a new and holy life. Amen. Eloise Rita, in the touch of this water, the ancient symbol of new life, I baptize you into the love, service, and joy of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Source of life, companion, and enlivener, Eloise Rita, may the presence of the Spirit of love in you be nurtured and constantly affirmed by your family, your friends, and by your church community. And may the sun and the stars delight in you and touch your heart with fire so you may find passion to be creative. And may you know God's blessings always. Amen. And while the choir sings, I'm going to take her on a little tour. She's good. And just stand there and glow. Proud parents. There we go.
Thank you.
do another one. I'm not quite done. Catherine and John, I ask you now to respond to God's graciousness to Eloise by making these promises. Will you provide for Eloise a welcoming home of love and trust? And will you help Eloise to grow in her understanding and appreciation of a broad religious faith? And will you encourage Eloise to reach out to others with love and compassion? Each of us knows the need for support and care as we share in a journey of faith. As this family gathers around this font, this water, symbols of belonging and community, let us pledge our care for them. We stand as witnesses to the commitment this family has made this day, and we pledge ourselves to their support and care as they discover the ways that the Spirit unfolds for them. Let us pray. Bless this newly baptized child. May she always know that the source of love lives and comes to unique expression in her. Bless Catherine and John. May they always show their gratitude for the new life given them by loving and caring for Eloise. Bless these faithful people, and may we live in love. And may we continue to draw encouragement from the faith which connects our loving with the mystery we call God. This is a great day of celebration for Eloise. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And we have a couple of presentations to make to you this morning. While Carol is getting hers ready, I'll present you with Eloise's baptismal certificate. And we have a wonderful prayer shawl ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church. Members of our congregation prayerfully and carefully and thoughtfully knit and crochet these quilts, and we offer them as a gift and as a welcoming and a blessing for Eloise as she grows. Light it from this one. The wick curled over on us. There we go. Good.
We have light.
Always. Oh, that's yours. And we have a hymn as we sing our way for the children to head to church school this morning. We're going to sing, Creator God, You Have Searched Me.
Thank you.
The gospel reading this morning is taken from John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael come towards him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
Thank you.
Thank you.
Charles, great choir. Faith, I once preached with a kid on my hip, so it's all good. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. As we move into this time, O God, may your spirit be heard through the words that I share this day. Amen. So we're into the season of Epiphany. And Epiphany is meant to focus us on the light of the revelation of God that each one of us is. We as Christians, as we live our lives in the path of Jesus as Messiah of God, are called to take on that identity, take on that lightness and likeness of God. So Epiphany begins with the visitation of the Magi, the wise ones. It moves through the baptism of Jesus by John in the River Jordan, as we saw last week, and the revealing of the Holy Spirit. For many, those are the liturgical highlights of this season. But I want us to be careful to remember that they are meant to be starting points. That the visitation and the baptism are places in which we begin. We are meant to walk through the season of Epiphany, looking at the disciples and their call and their experiences as they live out this call on following Jesus. One of the faith responses that's hoped from baptism is an epiphany of one's call to ministry. Now, I don't mean to say that just because Eloise was baptized here this morning, she should start preparing for the Atlantic School of Theology and discernment committees and those sorts of things. I don't mean that. I mean that by baptism, we are meant to find our call in God and in God's call to serve in the world. That mission is supposed to be lived out by each and every one of us, the church and God's people everywhere. Now, not everybody likes to sit on a committee. Yeah, I heard a giggle out there, yeah. Not all of us can keep the church books. Not everyone's comfortable reading or singing in front of people, and not all of us can play a musical instrument. And while that's true, there isn't any one of us who can't pray. There aren't any one of us who can't pick up a phone and call someone and check in on how they're doing if we haven't seen them for a Sunday or two. And most of us can share a cup of coffee or tea or a glass of water or write a note of encouragement. Some of us can offer a ride to church or a supper or an event or an appointment. We can all be community together with the gifts and talents that we have because they find their source in God. My sense of call didn't come out of nowhere. My parents chose to bring me to church, to Grace United. I met friends there who were fun to hang around with, and we became lifelong friends. My Sunday school teachers were warm and loving and caring people. And the minister that I had gave youth an opportunity to share in worship leadership and encouraged us to participate. Members of the church supported us to go to youth forum in Camp Kidston. And one day during my confirmation class, my minister said to me, "Michael, one day you should consider a call to ministry." Had Reverend Ron Dixon not said that to me, I would have probably still offered to sit on a church committee or volunteered with the official board or Sunday school or youth group. It probably wouldn't have changed that aspect of my life. But in reading the call of Samuel from 1 Samuel this morning, that young boy heard his voice. His call from God didn't come out of nowhere. It came from his mother's prayers for him as a child, for her willingness to bring him to the temple and to help him to serve in God's work. His call came from Eli, who, though he wasn't the best role model in the world, he and Eli and his family had their problems, their faults, and their foibles, and, well, they weren't the best of people all the time. They still worked in young Samuel's life. The call to service in the mission of God in the world comes from within the community. It comes from this place right here. A community which nurtures and loves and upholds people as beloved children of God. Now, Catherine and John, as Eloise's parents, we hope we can support you as you share part of your life and your faith journey with us here at Cole Harbor Woodside. We hope we can help you and Eloise grow as a family, and we hope we can be a place where faith is nurtured and challenged. We pledge to help you listen for God's Spirit calling you in the ways of love and service in the world, and that we can help you nurture Eloise's faith and provide a community that's safe and supportive for her to hear the message of God's love and to ask questions and to challenge. This is our pledge, our covenant with you and with God here this morning. Our attentiveness to God heightens God's presence in our lives. The intensity of the divine energy and the depths of divine possibilities. Samuel's encounters with God remind us that each one of us is called to be an epiphany, a revealing of God's vision in us and in the world. In the reading from Mark's Gospel this morning, Jesus astounds Nathanael by his intimate knowledge of his life, as if Jesus had been paying attention to Nathanael and his activities. And both Philip and Nathanael decide to leave their comfort zones and follow Jesus. The very act of following ushers them into a new world, a new way of being, a new life. And what's more, Jesus' call to come and see means more than just, hey, show up on a Sunday and check this out. Come and see means to come alongside, to walk beside, to enter into an experience of the divine in your life and in the world. Come and see means jump into the water with both feet and be a part of this amazing journey of faith that is Cole Harbor Woodside United Church. Philip and Nathanael both respond with action and follow Jesus from that point on. The young boy Samuel is already in the depths of a life of service to God's mission in the world. When he hears the voice of the divine, he goes to Eli and asks Eli, I keep hearing this voice in my life. What should I do? Eli responds to engage God. Find out what is out there for you. Samuel, upon hearing God's voice yet again, responds, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In like ways, we too say, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. There are just a couple of announcements I want to remind folks of this morning. Kelly mentioned she couldn't be here this morning and asked if I would remind parents, especially of those in grades 2 to 5, that she is hoping to begin a Kids Connect youth group for younger for some of our younger kids, ages grades 2 to 5. The first one is going to be Friday, this coming Friday, the 19th of January, from 6:30 to 7:30 here at the church. So if you have a young person interested, please come out. Heather and I have gotten together, and we are putting together a pastoral care team workshop. So if you're on the pastoral care team and like to come out for a little bit of a refresher, Saturday, January 27th at 9:30 for a couple of hours, if you think you might be interested in the pastoral care team and what we do and how we serve in the life of the church, you're also welcome to come on out. So you don't have to be a member of the pastoral care team if you're considering it or just curious. Come on out on that particular morning, the 27th of January. It's a Saturday, 9:30 to about 11:30. And after the fellowship time this morning, there will be a brown bag lunch discussion upstairs in the meeting room. We'll have some further coffee and tea, some conversation about our acknowledgement of place. And so if you'd like to come and be a part of that, please do join us upstairs. Those are the announcements that I needed to share, and I know there are at least one or two others. Because there's always one or two more. There we go.
Good morning. A big thank you to everybody who donated to Cole Harbour Cares during our Advent Conspiracy project. We could not have done it without you. I had a wonderful email yesterday morning from Ziad Al-Assadi, who is our family in Lebanon, and they have been called for their medical interviews, which is, yay, fantastic. So we will keep you in touch with how this goes on. When Ezra, his wife, asked him what it meant, and he told her, she started to cry because she's so happy. So, thank you.
Hi, my name's Heather, and I'm going to be starting up a junior choir over the next, hopefully, month, sometime. I don't know when yet. I need numbers, so anybody with children, if they are interested in singing, dancing, having some fun to some music, I have a sign-up sheet outside, and I'm just looking to see how many I can get before we start. Thank you.
Just in case you missed it, Hope Cottage, our first meal of the new year, will be January 25th. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex for meatballs and rice, and in case you've never made them before, Paul has included copies of the recipe. Thank you.
Good morning. This Saturday evening, Charles and Greg, I believe, are presenting a concert on piano at 7:30, and we welcome everyone. They are superlatively tremendous. It was wonderful to hear the news from Heather that a junior choir is starting up, but I don't want to wait 2, 3, 4, 5 years for them to turn 12 and come into our choir. We had 13 people here today, and we have had in the past upwards to 43 people. We've enjoyed a time of years of wonderful work and friendship and camaraderie, and we're inviting any one of you out there who wants to come and join in to please just speak to any one of us, and we'll welcome you with open arms. The work can be confusing at times. And if you come on a Thursday night between 8 and 10 and just want to sit out there and watch us, you'll see how confusing we look. But it is something that we really, really wish that you would all consider and come and join us. Thank you very much.
Well, this morning, well, Friday, I want to make an announcement. Friday was Brenda's last day upstairs. and, oh, she's clapping. And she came here today reluctantly after a couple of threats. She is here, but She's ending, I don't know, something like 30 years service to this church in various forms. She has trained multitudinous students, ministers, interns who are now all over the place thanks to her training. And now in retirement, she's going to be golfing and going south and just enjoying life. But she will be around. She's going to be helping out with a couple of the ministries. So we will continue to see her when they're back in the country, which is a good thing. We just had a couple of pictures that we want to... Now, I have a good idea who the Santa Claus is. And Brenda on the left. These come from Eva McKay, who has been a bit of an historian. That's Eva there. And then the other one, Ron? There. Who said that? Who's the man in the middle, Brenda? Michael Brooks. There you go. And Michael Brooks, by the way, called on Thursday to talk to Brenda, didn't he? And then a more current one. There we are. I think that's at the meeting house. And that's Leslie. Corlove Heritage House, yeah. So we have some presentations. And Michael has some greetings, so we need Brenda. Brenda always stays in the background. If some of you might not know her, you're going to meet her for the first time. You never...
And from Carol from Widow's Lunch.
I was told to keep this short. So on behalf of all the ladies in UCW, thank you for everything you've done for us over the years. You've been a pleasure to deal with. Lunch group asked me to give you this and to tell you how much we've appreciated all you did for us, making our luncheons so special. They were always so beautiful, so thank you. You're more than welcome to enjoy your retirement.
Please join us in the hall afterward. There's a cake. Brenda doesn't always come in there, but it's mandatory this morning. And you'll get a chance to talk to her one-on-one. Wish her well. Michael has some greetings.
Just a couple of greetings. One, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Brenda for her years of service and dedication to Cole Harbour Woodside Pastoral Charge. Over the years, Brenda has worked with many students and a variety of personalities. Mine was, I had no concept of how to photocopy, and Brenda exercised such patience with me. Nails and hair had to be perfect. And Brenda would say, so what color are you wearing today? Do you know who it is yet?
Is it
Yeah. Overall, I have learned so much from Bren. I am so grateful to Brenda for the administrative skills she has taught me. Thanks, Brenda, for being a part of my journey, and may your retirement bring you great respite and lots of fun. You'll be greatly missed, I'm sure, at Cole Harbour Woodside United. Go and enjoy the grandchildren. Much love. And a little bit more recent one. Dear Brenda, I wanted to wish you well in your retirement. I don't know what your plans are going forward, but I hope and trust you they will be ones filled with happy memories of the past and fulfilling experiences in the future. Margaret and I both loved the time we spent at Cole Harbour Woodside last year and particularly appreciated the professional manner in which you carried out your administrative role at the church. It certainly made my work easier while I was there as a student minister. May God bless you and keep you as you enter this new life and exciting phase of your life. Sincerely, David and Margaret Atwood. And this one's a little bit longer. I'm sorry to not be with you this morning in person as you celebrate Brenda's amazing contribution to the life of Cole Harbour Woodside United Church. I first met Brenda shortly after she started working for the church in 1984 when I was a student, along with Bill Kirvin, Paul Finley, and Norman Marple was the minister. When I was called to the church in 1990, I knew that I was incredibly fortunate that Brenda was still the church secretary. For 26 years, Brenda was my colleague, friend, and incredible support. She made me look good. Together, we supervised many students and interns, initiated fundraising activities like church auction, dinner theater. We lived through the building project, and when the only toilet in the building was downstairs with no door, so we had to stand guard for each other, we made funeral ministry a reality. There are countless things I could say about Brenda, her gifts, skills, cheerful disposition, but in my opinion, the most important thing Brenda brought to the church office was her pastoral presence. We would laugh about the chair in her office and all the people who stopped for a conversation. When Brenda answered the church phone, people always knew that she cared. Setting up the chapel for funeral visitation, decorating the tables for widow's lunch, or making little gifts for everyone coming to the Christmas Eve service, Brenda exercised amazing creativity. We laughed together, we cried together, we worked together, and through it all, I was blessed. Thanks, Brenda, for everything, and may this transition of your life be all that you are hoping for. With love, Susan. As she wings her way, if she's not already on her way, to the Holy Land, yeah, to Israel. And finally, from me, you, as Susan said, you have made me look good. Like, as hard, and with all the mistakes and foibles, none of them are Brenda's, right? None of them. They're all mine. She, always wonderful little reminders. So today, are we going to have 9:30 worship this week? bulletins were always ready. She knows and knew where everything was in the office and helped me transition into a ministry that could have been a very, very difficult transition, and you certainly helped to make it easy. I was so pleased to have been able to work with you for the last 18 months. And I look forward to working with you further in the different ministries that we will share in my time here. So thank you for everything. You're allotted 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Ron, I promise not to touch. I will only speak. What can I say but thank you, all of you, for the last 34 years. Only 14 when I started, but I have been blessed and privileged, so thank you very, very much.
Moment for mission. Do we have a moment for mission this morning? Very good. Information this morning.
Our gifts for mission and service support community ministries for families like the ministry in Nova Scotia. In 1986, Fairview United Church in Halifax opened a family resource center in its building. The programs the church initiated focused on providing education and support in a safe and welcoming environment. Let's hear from one longtime participant, now board member, Tia Forsythe, about the center's lasting impact. I first heard of Parent and Taught, as it was called then, when we first moved here in 2006. While my husband went to work every day, it was hard for me and my three children to make connections. I was told there was a great playgroup, so off we went. It is a decision I am thankful for every day. My children made friends that they are still connected to over the last 10 years. I met people who became my support system in the city. I have been privileged to watch not only my children grow and achieve amazing things, but also the children they met all those years ago.
The Family Resource Center has had to move out of the church to a new, larger building. Programs and services offered today include advocacy and referrals, health and wellness, youth, preschool, adult skill development, health and safety, pre-kindergarten, parenting skills, and support and community partnerships. I want to say a big thank you to Fairview United Church and also to the people of the United Church of Canada. Through your generous gifts to mission and service, you are making a true and lasting impact on communities and in the world, in Jesus' name. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you've not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
In that spirit, our offerings will now be received. As we bring our gifts forward, O God, may they be blessed because our hands have touched them, our thoughts have gone with them, and our intentions to serve in the world are followed by them. Let us bless us as we bring our offerings forward this day. In Christ we pray. Brief prayer this morning as part of our prayers of the people from Bruce Sangwin's book, If Darwin Prayed. The prayer is entitled Drenched. It's meant to remind us not only of our own baptisms, but our call to the world. Let us pray. we open to the patient presence of spirit, waiting for willing souls, future fashioning artists to share with her a palette of possibility. Waiting for 14 billion years for us to take up the brush and daub and dab new colors, our true colors, onto the unformed canvas of the future. Spirit waiting for this moment to arrive, to plunge those with ears to hear into the waterfall of grace, with shrieking laughter and delight under the thundering baptismal waters. Baptize us once more in the Spirit, so that our bold strokes may draw a wider circle and play a part in describing our universe. We pray this prayer along with the prayer that Jesus taught us we might pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us the trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 509 in Voices United, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Came into this place expecting to hear the voice of God speaking to us in one another, in the music, and in the scriptures. Let us hear
that voice today and say and respond with our lives, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."